Es muy joven. So, the view, and let's see, myself and Marika is not here, and occasionally Melissa will all be doing checking of the transcriptions. So this is the second pass these transcriptions are receiving, and that's pretty straightforward. I think you'll basically have an idea of what's involved. But the extra step that we're asking you to do in this case is to look at the silent regions and listen to them for each channel, and make sure that no back channels were lost, for example. Back channels is what you typically would find, although by and large these are going to be silent. So you can start checking by, you can order it in any way you like, but start with the first channel and go through it entirely. I would recommend, I found that it's easier when you're checking and you're trying to make sure the boundaries are right for a speech segment. I would recommend, let's say this one, go down here to the transcription tier and select that so that when you play, you're certain that when it stops, you've caught the whole speech signal for that utterance and haven't lost any signal information. Otherwise, it's liable to keep on running and you might not notice where it finishes. So it takes a little time, but alternatively, you could just listen to the speech segments again and make sure everything's correct for those. And so you could just hit.
Well, hi everyone again.
And then.
Like before, we.
Like that. And then go back and check the silent regions. If you want to make your job a little more interesting, do it in different ways on a different day. It doesn't matter. As long as it gets done. So.
Sorry, we're checking what's actually been transcribed already, as well as the silences.
Yeah,
Yes.
you're doing so. That's the role of the checker, is to check what's said in the silent region, in the speech regions, and then make sure nothing was lost in the silent regions. You're also responsible for resolving any uncertainties that were marked by the original transcriber. And of course, there are going to be many situations where you, like the first transcriber, can't make any sense of it. And in that case, it will be up to you to use the at symbol. And that can be used to represent one unintelligible word or multiple intelligible words, but just use one at symbol. Yeah, exactly. And so that, once you go through all the speech regions and all the non-speech regions, and that you could make another step of doing a search using going under the edit menu, you can do a search for, find a place for open parentheses, and that'll take you to that the first transcriber might have marked out. So there's one, and then you can just resolve those all one by one as a different set of changes together. And likewise for the double question marks. Just once you've gone through and resolved all the open parentheses, you can do the same for double question marks. And like I said, if you can't make any sense of it, then just use the at symbol. If you can, just give it your best guess in these cases.
How much would you want? I had a few times where I thought, well, it could be this. But if you're not entirely sure that it could be, because it could be a combination of something else, so
Yeah.
put the guess down or leave it as ambiguous in some way.
Yeah, it's. I would, if you're quite certain, then I would go ahead and type what you think it was said. If you think that
there's a chance.
Maybe 30% chance you're wrong or more.
It's usually a context problem.
Yeah.
Sometimes if it's not intelligible, you either tend to, because you really want it to fit the context, you tend to take the closest actual word to fit the context. Or if it, sometimes it sounds very clear as a word itself, but then wouldn't make sense at all. And then question, you know, second guess whether it's really what you heard.
Right. So maybe a good idea would be to listen to each channel one by one. Listen to the silent and non-silent regions and make all those corrections. Leave the unknowns, the ambiguities, the uncertainties until later. So go through all the channels and do that, and then you should have the context from all four speakers, and then go back and do those searches one by one for each channel. How would that be?
Yeah, it does tend to help. Yeah.
Okay.
Much going through the passage and worked out what they're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Took like the third time because I thought, oh, you're saying F5.
yeah, I think that would be really helpful. That would help us nab a good number of those uncertainties.
But if there's a chance that it's equally likely that they could have said something or they could have said something like ice cream.
Mm.
They just choose one and leave it.
Choose one. Think of it from a speech recognition point of view, again, and always this should be, this should motivate you. Yeah, what is most robust for speech recognition and leave out.
We just started our speech recognition assignment.
So you've been well geared towards this task.
I did my master's. I took SP1 and SP2 with Simon King.
You survived SP1 and SP2.
Yeah. And actually, I didn't quite well in SP1. I've done a bit worse in SP2 because it was a lot more challenging.
We have two new teachers for SP2.
Okay.
I'll ask you later on. Like,
okay. Back to the topic.
Okay. So, this is one I've gone through. I've just done one channel, and there were lots of things, as you can see, because I've got square brackets around all the things that need to be changed. So this person didn't know about capitalization. So. Just about every utterance needs to be capitalized and needs end punctuation.
You know when you get like someone's talking and there's sort of pause in the middle of a sentence which is long enough for it to put a break in, but they're actually sort of carrying on the sentence. Do you have to capitalize each time you transcribe a bit? If
that's no. Whatever makes sense to you.
Okay.
but no, it can continue into the next segment. And
so what, put the hyphen and
that's
then...
That's actually the only case where you don't, or where you're not supposed to capitalize, right?
Right.
So if it's quite clear that the sentence is being carried on, the sentence for a previous segment is being carried on, then that's when you don't capitalize.
Okay. And you only use the hyphen, I think, when the sentence is definitely not continuing anywhere.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
I've done a few of those wrong then, when someone comes to check it.
I'll review some of these things after I go through this a bit, just to recap. These are things that, after checking everybody's work, these are things that were commonly left out or mistranscribed, whatever. So I'll go over those as an opportunity to work on. Okay, so... This person left out a lot of end punctuation, and here's a case where I think she was transcribing an out-breath, or possibly an in-breath, and used the hash mark. In any case, I didn't hear anything, and you shouldn't be transcribing in-breaths or out-breaths.
Okay.
That's information we don't need.
Like before, I have to use a... meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
Oh, this is the headset mic. I heard something there. It was a
creaky voice.
Yeah, it was creaky. So
it was really connected to the words.
And it's interesting to know really whether it's mic noise or the person's meeting.
Yeah, well, I
didn't
think it was.
Here we go. Oh.
Hello.
Like before, we I have to use meetings from the
there's actually quite a bit more in there than from I got before. So I heard a creaky voice, and it was audible of the level of the rest of the speech. So I would keep that. That's good. Oh, okay. I was adding that. That's what I was doing. Okay. There you go. So there's things like that. There's a missing false start here that didn't get caught.
Meetings from the minutes from the last meeting. Mm-hmm.
So I added that in. So that's something that's quite common in the transcriptions that I've looked at. Missed false starts, missed.
How exactly you have to be there, because some people tend to stutter more than others, and then they will have a false start 4 or 5 times in a row. And how important is it to listen to it really until you've got the exact number of the things right?
Try to get it right. Yeah. I think syllables should be accounted for.
Okay, sometimes they go
Don't let it drive you crazy, because there is one speaker Melissa just played for me today, and he stutters horribly. It's unfortunate. It's really going to be a 9-minute transcribe, so you will have to write it somewhere. But if it's say 4 repeated, the word is repeated 4 times, then that's not too hard to count.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't come across anything exceeding 4. Mm-hmm. Have you?
Well, it's not that the word is. If the word were, the whole word were being used 4
mm-hmm.
times,
mm-hmm.
that wouldn't have been that difficult. But sometimes it's just a false start, which is really just maybe 1 or 1.5 phones,
uh-huh.
and then repeat it, and then you don't really know whether 1 is a long duration of 1 or whether it's actually 2.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So it's, I think it was a word starting with D, and the person was going da 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 da.
Make your best guess.
Yeah.
Try to listen to it carefully enough, but not so that you're obsessing over it for too long, I would say.
And sometimes if it does, you're thinking, are you anticipating a D, or you're trying to say the, and you're just saying the.
Right.
The.
Well, there again, think about robustness in speech recognition.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't matter. It's a word fragment.
Cares.
You're marking it as a fragment, and that's
yeah.
what's important.
Yeah.
Speaking about robustness, that if somebody has an accent that you can only really understand what they're saying due to world knowledge, that what they say doesn't really actually sound at all, what it is, then do you transcribe more phonetically, or do you put a star after every single one word?
I wouldn't be using the star so liberally.
Yeah, that's what
for
I thought that not supposed to do it, but there's one I'm transcribing right now, a whole batch of dialogues where all 4 participants are non-native, and there's especially one there that I think is Eastern European, and I think that's the only reason I can understand what he's saying at all, because I'm Eastern European, and but if you would just play it, I think, to recognize it, then what he says, the way he realizes words sounds
mm-hmm.
nothing at all like it should be.
Well, right. And for that matter, a lot of native English
yeah.
speakers' realizations are going to
yeah.
be so true too.
I try to take consistency. If they always stress the wrong part of the word, then I think, okay, I'll let that in.
Yeah. yeah.
If it comes out in like one word, is.
No, it's less of a stress. It's really like I don't know, just the phonemes sounding differently.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bother to mark all of those instances.
Well, you can't really, because
you're going to find that for any speaker, you have to set for realizing these things. And it's just like Fiona was saying, that the word that stands out is something really aberrant. Like, I'm thinking of, I've used this example before. There's a guy who says project instead of product.
Mm.
And it's something like project.
Mm.
And it's probably just his
his pronunciation.
Oh, I think I've transcribed him in a project.
They're clearly talking about a product, so I marked that as a mispronunciation or something to flag anyway.
The one guy who was saying evolution each time he made
evaluation. I remember that one was on the flag, just like you did. That's something definitely to mark.
Yeah, but that's really something I would always transcribe it, you know, for lack of better knowledge or lack of context. And then at the end of the dialogue, it dawned on me that and then I went back and replaced it in the whole transcription.
That's good.
Remember, we have a lecturer that can, I can never quite tell if he's saying problem or program. Program. I can't actually say it when I'm listening to him. I can't tell.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about certain speakers.
Yeah, basically,
it's just
I think
you
just
have
do your best and hope for the best.
Yeah.
I'm not involved with this.
Okay, so
that'll give some transcriber a headache.
Yeah.
Well, we have both headsets on the lapel transcription, so not too bad.
Oops. I won't be transcribing
that. Right there. Yeah, let's have more of the
Okay, so there have been lots of missed filled pauses. Everybody seems to miss those, some more than others. So just really keep an eye out for those.
It's easy to because you're so used to tuning them out. You know,
mm-hmm.
When I go back over, I normally like go back to the beginning, do a quick pass of the main sections again, and think,
yeah. I'm sure I missed them plenty myself, but this second pass we should really try to catch.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm
all
just seeing
at least
with the TV. There's
yeah.
T_V_. I thought we're just supposed to use the underscore between.
No,
letters.
No.
After.
That's what I thought the first.
Okay,
day as
sorry,
well.
Then I've done it wrong so far.
Okay. Yeah, it should be after every acronym.
You know, you standardised all the fill pauses that are, and do we need to go through and change ones that people did differently? Like if I were over an ER, for, change it all to UH. That's
yeah, okay. Yeah. So at this point, the only file that's been checked is Melissa, one that Melissa did,
mm-hmm.
checked by me. So we're starting fresh with these, and you know,
right.
changes like that were just announced. We'll be able to catch these first passes.
Okay.
So yeah, if you do see something like UHM for you would change that to the regularized version.
Okay.
And we just, you know, this is arbitrary, but we had to choose something and not make it too convoluted choice.
So if they pause just where you've got highlighted at the moment, that will the hyphen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have to redo the meetings from the minutes from the last meeting. Was that a like real definite? I'm starting a new sentence here because I sometimes if it sounds like you can carry on saying the whole sentence, I sometimes don't have a hyphen there.
But it is a hesitation.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not necessarily these are not sentences, but just at least
I think of it in terms of, you know, not even maybe to, well, if you think of it in terms of a syntactic tree, it doesn't have to go back all the way to the S note, but it just it might go back to the last
just
note.
Just one to the next
filter.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That is
Who knew what that was? Like, if somebody that didn't know about linguistics are trying to transcribe S notes.
It's just my way of knowing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, because linguistics is all I've ever known.
Here's so that answers your question. That answers your question.
Yeah.
This one here? Okay. Here's where I heard another D sound, another false start, or stutter, I would say.
On this room remote, and used to send messages, of course, to the TV. It should have 9 channel buttons, next button, volume buttons, some panel buttons. switch to control features, color, contrast, sharpness, etc. Strengthening her favorite personal features she would like to see to be integrated in this.
And there was a vowel in there, but you notice that she just used the D, and that's fine. The letter D.
What's the C? Is that
she would like C. She
definitely
integrated in this in this new remote.
Where you've written out etc. Is that how we're supposed to be writing it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she's so she spelled it wrong. Up here.
Oh, etc.
Yeah, so I mentioned that because of spelling. And yes, any.
Is it one word or is it two words?
It's one word.
Okay.
So I just said spelling.
It's like
management. Sorry.
But isn't that etc.? Like at Ali?
Like 80s.
No, like you know, when you have when you have a citation and you say et al means and others, et al is before, and etc. means and following. So
in the dictionary, yeah, it's one word.
Oh, it is.
If you have any questions about spellings, I think I'm might have sent an email to this effect. Just check the Oxford English Dictionary.
Okay.
That will be our guide. So as far as I know, this is just missing an E, set to. But anyway, you can. We've considered experimenting with running this through a spell check. You can take this as an Emacs file and run a spell check on it. But I think it would slow things down too much. So just hopefully in going through this very carefully, you're going to notice these misspellings.
Yeah, I think if somebody could write, I don't know how difficult it would be in practice to write a script that would ignore all the word fragments, anything with a hyphen, then a spell check might make sense. But to just use simple Emacs, it will basically mark all the word fragments for you. You know, and I know from experience, at some point you also get negligence, you just click okay, you know, that's not and then you might miss a real error. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we will just hope that you catch it. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, let's see.
Okay, so.
To be integrated in. She would like
So I think she didn't
okay.
catch
she was cutting one off rather than saying she'd like to see
right,
something.
Right. Yeah. I think she meant to use the infinitive, but she just left off.
But
the
C is
a whole
full
word.
Shouldn't there be a space between C and
a space not to be she would like C.
She would like C.
Actually, no, the C and the hyphen should not be spelled.
Yes,
you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That
was what you were. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to save that. Okay. What else? Be careful about finding mistranscriptions. So.
The
other shape buttons. She presented also an oversized remote, which she guarantees nobody will ever be able to lose.
So she transcribed that as wood.
Okay.
But sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes we really don't know whether it's saying wood or wood.
Well, I think it's quite clear.
Yeah,
it's
clear.
I mean, obviously there.
But if it's not clear, do you just pick the more grammatical semantics or
no? You try to keep it as true to
what's
being
said. But if it's really absolutely not clear,
then use
when they say what instead. You know, some people when they just swallow off the last bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just then transcribe?
I'd have to hear it because it sounds like it could be a fragment.
Yeah.
I just have to hear it. You don't want to be prescriptive and type what you think they should have said, but I do know the type of scenario you're describing. It's just hard to answer that without hearing something.
Yeah.
That one should be kept up.
Yeah, they should all. I stopped marking, so just too many.
Should it?
Because we lose. It's not the same.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes,
But a very personal.
So another mystical start.
Her favorite, really, she would very much like to see.
There is creakiness on the she, but you don't need to mark that as a separate sound.
Sometimes I've made butts after like words after laughter, I've made them capitalized because I've not been sure if the laughter's been cutting everything off.
If it sounds like the laughter is just interrupting an utterance that continues after the laughter, I wouldn't worry about capitalizing.
So what about if a whole utterance is uttered while laughing? Do you put the laughter what I do is I put laughter in front, then the whole sentence and laughter in at the end as well.
If you hear just laughter on either side, do that.
No, it's laughter throughout.
I don't know. We'll have to.
If some people laughing themselves silly at absolutely nothing.
Okay, so laughter during speech. I'll talk to you
because in the ICSI dialogues, they always say, while laughing, and we don't do that. So they say either. So there, it's really not ambiguous whether it's just laugh followed by a normally spoken utterance, or whether it's an utterance spoken while laughing. There is a distinction there, and we don't have any.
No, we don't have any qualified times that they use, but I'll figure that one out and put it up on the wiki or email you. Good question. I've come across that as well. Let's see.
Is speech recognizer integrated in this remote? Industrial designer.
I don't know what that noise was indicating. We can skip on other types of things I'm put out. Let's see.
And how it works, you press the button, the chip is Morse code related, relays the electrical generator to the generator amplification. And the circuit board is very inexpensive to build. And so she thinks this is a great feature to consider.
Circuit. I forget if she was the person that called circuit.
Did she say circuit?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. So would you have been tempted to put an asterisk?
If it's her, I just caught the end
board.
Of it.
The circuit board.
No, not for that one. So I had one person who said circuit.
Oh, okay.
But then I wouldn't put an asterisk. I thought asterisk is something where it's pronounced as a totally different word, like evaluation and evolution.
No, not necessarily. No, it's just something that the speech recognizer is liable to trip up on, I think.
Because this is a very frequent mistake that non-native speakers make, to say circuit instead of circuit.
That may be, but I probably would flag it. Depending on how different the vowel sound was. It's going to be your call.
Something like if I did that one because it was, the language teacher wouldn't allow that to move on to the next stage, and they wouldn't let that pass. Sort of.
Okay.
Or I wouldn't, if somebody did that, I'd point it out to them.
Here's a case of where I found a case of discontinuity.
She would like, this whole thing should be push buttons.
But, because she's a non-native English speaker, I don't know, maybe that was grammatically unmarked for her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe that wasn't her restarting. Maybe
this is otherwise you could end up putting a hyphen after every
So again, I don't know. That was my reflex at the time to put that there, but
just a prosodic marker rather than an actual pull. Hesitation.
Yeah.
As in that whole,
simple chip that she would like, this whole thing should be push buttons.
Oh, yes, sorry. I'm going to start the rest of the sentence.
Is push buttons keywords? Yeah. I'm typing this too.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to skip ahead. Oh, let's see. Here's a.
Should be battery operated, and of course, you have a special case.
So I hear she would quite clearly
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
I think a good number of them you'll be able to resolve.
Okay.
Just helps to have the context and be able
well,
to.
Well, it could be she
it.
Would or should as well.
Okay. Yes, it can be a lot of things.
Marketing expert who has to finally come up with to market this product.
So there's another case where there wasn't a space between
right.
A non-word fragment and a restart. Okay, what else? There was an extra little symbol in here. Carelessness. So even if it's something as brief as mm-hmm, we're going to go ahead and capitalize that. Mark asked me what to do in case of an utterance just consisting of laughter. Do we we use punctuation in these cases?
I haven't done it.
I don't
know.
I think it's just too silly.
It's not linguistic.
I'm just thinking of, you know, a utterance consisting entirely of laughter and then putting like punctuation in like
ha. Someone's gonna have fun transcribing that now.
Conversation in the common room like is laughter linguistic, then they could come up with
There just really wasn't enough to transcribe.
Well, I really not.
Yeah, because it was really just silence, and you asking the person to just.
Yeah. So, like I said, click down here just to, if you haven't learned that trick already, and that won't play any surrounding segments. So there's nothing there. With
okay.
Transcribing.
No, just the random yes, not the having the hyphen before because it's got up a little way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that second one for the top.
That's
and you're gonna have to go back and find the places where I've had someone pausing and then saying, yeah, yeah, and then this that I've not had I need to go back and find.
So you haven't
put hyphen
in hyphen it. I see.
Hyphens or commas?
Commas?
Yeah.
Actually, where I've a couple of times where they've repeated a word, I've put a comma between them. Should that be no comma?
Commas are fine.
Oh,
and
okay.
Eventually, they're going to be extracted
right.
globally, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, we can just. Wipe them out.
Okay. So I get quite prolific with my commas at times.
I am too.
Yeah,
and then Steve Reynolds, his project manager, had a look at, I think it was my transcription.
Okay.
Well, his commas doing it. But he didn't, ultimately, he knew it was a problem.
Okay, cool.
And they will, they'll help in the case of discourse marking, but his point was that they're really subjective. And you, the transcriber here,
just to make sense of the sentence.
Yeah. I really like using commas.
I read somebody's PhD proposal yesterday and said, like, well, you could have a comma in here and one there.
What is cutest? Tell me.
Oh, she spelled cutest with an I. So
oh, okay.
That's just what I had pointed out. Okay, what else?
Cutest?
Yesterday.
So here's, let's see, now this is
at one step
evaluation criteria.
So she typed hour, and I didn't quite hear that. But
no, this was an evaluation criteria.
But you can see how it could have been.
Well, if you were Cockney,
then. No, this was an evaluation criteria.
Sometimes you get like you're not sure if it's an A, an A, yeah, or not.
Right.
An
and you
A.
can never know, but
yeah.
if it fits well enough as an indefinite article, then
yeah, do it as
you might as well. So
okay.
Which should you this?
Oh, I was suggesting that it be instead of our.
No, this was an evaluation criteria.
But
an hour is.
Several vowels in there.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Oh, no.
It's ambiguous. I don't know. What's this? Well, I hear the well there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this being the headset mic channel may make it easier to hear. She transcribed from the lapel mic.
I've had one person with the dodgy headphone one.
Oh,
something where most of the time it's as if they've got the hand over something.
Oh god.
That's
and you transcribe that speaker entirely?
Yes.
if that comes
yeah,
up again, we've got headset mic files now. In fact, they replaced all the lapel mic files on the MMM server with headset mic files,
mm-hmm.
which
okay.
we weren't asking them to do, but anyway, they did it. So now we don't have the lapel mic files. Apparently the headset mic files are just a bit louder,
right.
So you probably find yourself turning the volume down considerably, but apparently other than that they're just as good.
Right.
But let us know because we can retrieve them.
You know, some people it actually leads to some really screeching noises because they're so loud or probably the mic is so close. I had this one in one of the first dialogues I did, this guy called Ed, you could always see the waveform actually, you know, being just hitting the boundaries on both ends and just being at some point just black fragments. And when he was talking there was this whole like, you know, when you speak too close to a microphone, you know, it's really
terrible. People that say, is this on? And I hit it a few times.
Okay. I don't think I'm gonna go through any more of these because I think I've gotten through most of the types that I meant to point out.
How about names that somebody says the name of somebody and you think,
how
to spell their name,
right.
if you know the right name.
Right. What are we going to do for that?
Sorry?
Oh, I had one guy, one of the project managers, was he had a really weird accent and he was calling one guy Mr. Ed.
Mr.
Ed. And it took me you find out that it was actually Mr. Ed.
Yeah, mystery Ed.
No, but then it wasn't one word, that it wasn't like some proper name starting with M.
I've been looking at some guidelines for another corpus, and I did see something about proper names, so I'll have a look at that and see how we can have
but
that.
But don't you guys have this data? But know the people's names, like when you
collect. Yeah, quite possibly. But since it's coming from IDEAP in Switzerland. Yeah, it should be easy enough to get, but it's one other step, you know, emailing somebody to find out who knows this information.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's.
No, but it's information that we theoretically have.
Yeah, because everyone signs a consent form when they participate in the experiment, so we have to be able to get.
We didn't sign one.
But we also have a means of dealing with proper names when we don't know what it is or how it might be spelled at all, and flagging that in some way. So I'll try to address both things.
Yeah. What was Mr. again? I can't remember seeing how to
transcribe
Mr.
Oh, just type Mr. fully
R.
M-I-S-T. Yeah. And the same with Mrs. M-I-S-S-M-S.
Do it.
Okay, Mrs.
Okay, check the dictionary.
Mrs.
Yeah, you would never type the abbreviated spelling.
What if somebody calls themselves Ms.?
M-I-Z.
I'm sure there's a spelling in
yeah.
OED, yeah.
So, what about foreign words? What do we do when we're checking and if we come up with something?
Oh, right, so
we just leave
the transcriber is including everything in carrots.
Yeah.
And
I got one. It was French, so I knew how to explain.
That's a good question, because you will be leaving question marks there.
Yeah. I mean, if it's in carrots and they know it's foreign, does that matter?
it shouldn't, because things are going to be left, like the asterisk will be left for the...
Yeah, and the at symbol.
The subsequent processing. But carrots with question marks in between would have to be resolved in some way.
Or could we just change it to an app between the carrots?
Yeah.
Because it's unintelligible theoretically.
Yeah, I suppose that's all we can do, really.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be polyglot.
Oh, so even if we know what the word means, we're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you if it's a foreign word and you know what it is, just enclose it in carrots.
Yeah, because I have, there's one dialogue where I think two speakers are French, like one is definitely French, and I know she's saying, and then somebody's saying to her, and she goes, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know that.
Yeah, yeah. If you're confident,
okay.
Get a fair grasp in French, very simple.
Translating the process.
Yeah. Okay. There was just one other thing. She typed okay in caps.
Oh yeah.
O capital O capital K and huge no. I don't know why she missed that in her guidelines.
Are we doing okay just as O K, not as a okay A Y?
It is okay A Y.
A Y. Oh right. Oops.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, it will be your job.
So I was going to find some of those.
No transcriber will be checking. No checker will be
checking
their
own
transcription. Yes.
Right.
No transcriber will be.
We will catch these things.
I have to remember that one now.
More efficiently, I think. And I'll just go for the board. Do you have to keep this
stuff on? Oh, yeah, because every time somebody would be going over there, you'd hear all the sound.
It's listening to the whiteboard.
I can hear the chairs moving in.
And about five or six breaks in between as they're making their way there.
Okay, so I guess just for the sake of using the whiteboard, killing a little more time, I'll just write down the things that are most common to be checked.
Okay.
Oh, the whiteboard
marker
is kind of like some. Wow. This is a list of things to do as the checker. So you want to listen to the silent regions, then check the speech regions, and as part of that, want to check the boundaries. And oh, by the way, this should be transcribe any missed speech. And let's see what else. Okay. And within this, checking the speech segments you want to listen for, or look for missed, punctuation, fill pauses, words, and stuttering. And if you have a stuttered word, you don't need to use the hyphen to mark discontinuity. It's just
okay.
So if somebody says the, then it's just the. Words in and false starts. Short words, make sure little words like the and the articles and that kind of thing don't get omitted. Short words and word fragments. those are the commonly missed things. And then look for cases of missed transcription. Seems so silly. Missed transcription, so make sure if the speaker said will, you type will, not would, or if they say we, even though it might be more grammatically correct to type we're, that kind of thing. That cases of ellipsis where maybe the transcriber typed them, but really what was said was And look for capitalization. I'm not doing more of this. Capitalization, spelling, use the OED to check on things you don't know about. Refer to the wiki for all regularized spellings and for things like fill pauses.
I just remembered one.
Oh, what's that?
Okay, when it's just as K, but it's at the beginning of a sentence. Should the K be capitalized?
Well, apostrophe and then K A Y.
And then, yeah, capitalize the K.
Good.
That mic smells really bad.
I think it's really good.
You've been doing this too long.
I used to always like smelling
like
this.
Please wait.
What else did I find? So the make sure the dash, the hyphen, whatever you call it, is being used appropriately in cases of discontinuity, but not in stuttering, like I said. and don't use it when the utterance is clearly continued in the next segment or whatever. Don't transcribe in breaths or out breaths, and okay should never be two capital letters, it should be OKAY. And one other thing is to break up long segments if you find any. So
over a minute.
Yeah, but that's a kind of crude guideline. I'd say just anything that seems unmanageable.
So if something is a minute and 3 seconds, I can still have it.
Yeah, yeah, really, it means nothing to say a minute. It's just a really crude guideline. I would just try to keep segments very manageable. But use these waveforms to help you.
Yeah.
And you can adjust the resolution so that that didn't help me too much, but you can use this little slide bar to adjust the resolution.
Could you click on one of the arrows?
Which
the arrow is on the beginning. It will on this one.
Yeah.
Not that one. The other arrow next to it.
This
one?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So
Oh, and you can also go to signal and it's something under signal where you can adjust the amplitude as well on resolution. If you go to control panel, signal control panel. The vertical zoom, you can adjust that as well, so if it seems too flat for you, you can.
Oh, right. That's good.
Okay. All right. I have nothing. I was hearing stuff, but there was nothing on my waveform. I had to find where everything was.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, so to help you make cuts, just look, use this waveform and make sure you're not losing any signal information. But, cutting segments down is a low priority, but it will help ultimately, I think, post-processing wise.
I've gone a bit far in cutting mine down at the moment.
Yeah, don't get excessive about it, because that just ends up taking too much time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from a speech recognition point of view, it shouldn't matter. Segments being whatever length that they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen other people's transcription guidelines like the ICSI project at Berkeley and elsewhere indicating that it really doesn't matter. The point is just to get them into manageable minutes.
Easier to checking it in it rather than to listen to a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's the best reason for cutting them out. But hopefully, that will be done during the first pass, because that's the whole point. Making the checker's job a little easier. And then, yeah, just be sure after you've gone through the four channels to do a search on all the unknowns, all the pieces of impurity or whatever. And what else was I going to say? The way we'll be allocating this is the same as before. It's going to be on the same
page.
The same page, just further down. Scroll down. You see the files. I've already allocated some things to be checked. So if you run out of work, go ahead and start checking, because this is something that's considerably bottlenecked at the moment.
So is this the priority then?
Yeah, I'd say for now, we don't even have much new stuff to be gone over for a first pass, so it's important that we do the second pass. And I've indicated in a column where there's something that's priority.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's high priority. So those would be the ones you could focus on first, obviously. And you don't want to change the file name in any way. Just keep it the same. There's going to be a checking in procedure. I don't know if anybody's mentioned this before, but you'll know about this with the CVS sort of. So
I don't know about this for the summarization. I haven't done this.
Did
you get the little response?
Yeah, similar. But they're creating Jonathan is creating a web form.
Mm-hmm.
For you to do this all very simply, just upload everything that you upload the file that you've transcribed, and you'll be noting whether it's the first pass or the second pass, and your name, the person who did that particular pass. And that will happen soon. I'll let you know.
So, do we just open the file as we open the files for the first pass?
The
sound file, and then.
Yeah, you'll have to. I would suggest creating a folder. Called files to be checked or something like that.
In your home directory.
Yeah, and then within that, create subfolders for the given name.
Yeah.
And you'll have to get all the sound files, unfortunately, from the MMM server on your own, because the AMI server's not very reliable for getting the sound files uncorrupted. So you'll have to get all the sound files from the MMM server, and the person's transcription file should be in that folder where you're putting yours. And then you'll just, you'll copy that over. You don't move it over, because you won't have multiple versions of these things. But yeah, copy it into your directory and keep the same name. And then when you check it in, it will automatically be registered, even though the first pass was checked in when we're doing this checking in business. It will know which pass it is, but I think you'll also be indicating that as well.
Vaguely connected question.
Uh-huh.
humor. Originally, when we first applied, say yesterday, it was in business, it said 6 weeks, and the contracts say 8th of May, which is longer in advance than. It's a greater amount of time than 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's actually 6. What is it? Is it 3 months?
Yeah, someone said 3 months.
They're 3 month contracts. And now, if you can't keep that, that's fine. But it's just a logistic thing with personnel where we have. That was the minimum we were able to offer a contract. So if you have to bow out, let us know as soon as you know when you're.
When it gets into the holidays and
obviously those kinds of things things we'll have to work around, but it's just one of those.
Just checking.
Once we actually get into the Easter holidays, because we're having lectures at the moment, can we be more flexible with our hours if we want to sort?
I should think so.
I mean depending on who's using the computers.
Well, as long as you're able to work out use of your computer with the other person. That's fine. The whole point of having regular hours was to make sure that somebody was here to answer questions. But you've got keys?
Yes.
So you should be able to get in during odd hours if
if you can plug microphones into Apple and Tower computers, I think they would
Yeah, I don't see why not. That's an issue.
know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm having substance tax stuff out before I can send my stuff in, because I need to make sure I'm sending in the right form.
Okay.
But they wanted to know what examining board I got my A levels in.
Really?
Yeah, for human resources. I thought, surely you don't need that information, because it was about to take me half an hour. Well, it did when I was like just going through the forms and filling in all the details. I thought, I'm not going to spend a couple of hours getting photocopies of degree certificates to give you for your files if I'm going to be here.
I think
one place it said give us copies of degrees. Oh, maybe I'm getting mixed up with something else, but it wanted a A level like examining board, which seemed a bit ridiculous.
If you have any problems like that, seek Carolyn Hastings. I mean, if it's for this job, then you're going to pay it.
Yeah.
That's not necessary. And Carolyn Hastings,
But
also, if pay is a matter, if it's a matter that you haven't gotten paid, I hope that's not.
Yeah, I haven't gotten paid for 2 weeks because I only have a 3 month contract starting February, but I started mid January.
Talk to Carolyn.
Yeah.
Because I really don't know why that would be. I'm here full time now, so I'll be here Monday through Friday, and I leave at 4 now, so you won't find me anytime after that.
But is your husband now a stay-at-home dad?
Yeah.
My husband's at home.
Mm-hmm.
So it is your baby then.
Yeah.
One assumes this.
How old?
He's 4.5 months.
Oh,
that's very lovely.
Yeah, that's the question I was just going to ask.
Yeah, well, only as of Friday, actually.
Wow.
I was just telling Melissa this. Do you want to stop?
Do you think you're done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, good, that worked out well. I was telling Melissa that.
Do we have to take our notes with me again?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh.
Just say that we've